one people group in negative ways that are destructive to that people group and therefore to all of us.
Yeah. And does she inspires you the most when it comes to resistance, or do you have anyone, or is there anyone else that you are inspired by?
Oh, I am inspired by so many in the space of my work and writings. I mean, bell hooks as an educator, as a scholar, for sure. I am inspired by Black writers who have resisted simply by writing and writing about different experiences, right? I already evoked Chimamanda as a present day writer. I know many see her and think about her in terms of her work in feminism writ large, but her work is first as a writer and an author who wrote from the frame of different lenses to African and Black identities. For example, I'm inspired by African and Black leaders that continue, and I too many to name. There's the traditional ones or and the current ones that to point to, but leaders who again resist just by being present and coming to leadership tables that are very difficult to be at from the position of marginality, and yet being there to share a different perspective because hopefully it changes the narrative. It makes for better policies for all of us. It makes for a better future for all of us.
And you are a writer yourself, right? And you refer to a book you wrote. What is this book and what's the book about so that I can refer to it on my show?
Oh, thank you so much. What I'd like to share, so I wrote three creative, right, so fiction pieces of short stories. And so two are short stories and one is flash fiction. And they actually really were grounded and centered in the kind of conversation we're having about global African, and as I like to call it, and Black identities. So the books are called Identities, Ancestries, and Destinies. And they all center these kinds of issues around Black identity and leadership. I'm also one of the co-editors and the initiator of a project called We Will Lead Africa and a collective that's becoming a network and a collective called We Will Lead Africa that really was about asking everyday African leaders, as we call them, to submit their stories of leadership. And then we'll collate these into book volumes. And they're currently three book volumes, We Will Lead Africa book volumes, just again, sharing narratives of African leadership. Often the narrative of African leadership is so skewed. Again, one of these leaders I admire is Mia Mottley, who is, you know, the leader of Barbados in this moment. And, you know, she has spoken about when we talk about leadership in African or so-called underdeveloped nations. You know, we're quick to go to narratives of corruption. And part of what me and my colleagues that started collecting the everyday African leadership narratives wanted to do was to share. We know so many phenomenal African leaders, both in the mainstream sense of this person is a great leader, and in the sense of phenomenal because they're awesome beyond that, and whose work was not getting recognized, whose name, whose perspectives as African leaders was, in our view, invisible from literature on African leadership. And so part of what we took on was collecting these stories and just sharing them again, just sharing them so that people can own their own narrative.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing work. Thank you for doing that. And I will definitely take a look on your books and you will have a little sneak peek in my show next week, which I'm very excited for. And I'm also wondering, so I'm a white person, and as a white person, how can I help, or how can I support the Black community better, and how can I help the Black community to resist?
Thank you. Thank you for that question and the intent I hear behind it. I think that this, you know, active allyship is the summary that I will start with. But I think it shows up in different ways. And this is partly the challenge of this conversation. The issues that we face as Black community exist at the individual interpersonal level, at the sort of group organizational, sort of different social group levels, and then at the societal levels. And I want to say to anyone, as an individual, If you are not a Black identifying person as an individual, know that you are not personally responsible for the systemic challenges we face, but you certainly, in your thinking, in your being, and in actions you take now, are part of the solution that we holistically need. But I say that because I think often there's a certain burden that comes with, and I've talked to many groups where we've had this conversation candidly, there's a certain burden that comes with feeling responsible, feeling those normal human being feelings of guilt and shame, and feeling therefore helpless. Like I just read from bell hooks, you know, part of resistance is freeing us up to move towards transformation and not be stuck in ways that don't help us move forward. So I say that to then characterize that what you can do individually is read, learn, listen to Black community about what is needed now, learn about Black history, learn about Black accomplishments, and be part of those individual interpersonal conversations that shift the conversation within your own communities, right? Many, many, many are not aware. Folks in Black community, we're not aware of our own history because we were taught. I went, for example, to my family's from Sierra Leone, and my family moved back there when I was a child. So I went to elementary and secondary school on a very British colonial educational system. So there's a lot about my history, Black history in general, and African history that I learned on my own, right? So this is a recognition that we're all in this. We must all educate ourselves, learn for the purposes of challenging. That's part of resistance. If you want to be part of it, challenge the status quo. Refer people to go learn and read. So that's one. I think at the group level, it is standing for inclusive ways of being part. Anyone can do that, right? Anyone can notice. And again, it's so insidious that I have been part of groups where I didn't notice practices that did not promote equitable process or were not diverse enough or inclusive enough, whether for Black community members or other community members. So it is really being attentive and noticing and asking questions, challenging the status quo, and going through the right channels. And I say that because I think, again, in the emotion that these conversations can often evoke, you know, a lot of people can just come out trying to work for change, but not doing that in a way that could productively lead to that change. So also educating ourselves on, you know, how does this process change in an organization? How does this practice change? How does this policy change? Who is the right person with the decision-making authority to change this? And how do I get an audience with them in order to change this piece? And knowing that those things can take time, because again, that individual, for example, who might be the leader with power authority, they're not working in a vacuum. They're working in a system. Maybe this rule has been there forever and has not been examined. So I just call also for patience for those in Black communities and outside Black communities, not patience like forever, because this work is work that should have been done a long time ago. But in terms of working with and alongside people that may be in the authority roles to make changes, being there to support moving the conversation forward and accountability, not giving up, but also understanding how things work and how things change. If something has not been looked at for 100, 200, 300, 400 years, it is not reasonable to say, I need you to change this and I need you to change it tomorrow. Sometimes some conversations need to happen, and it's just an awareness of that. Again, to take away the charge and the burden is why I'm sharing this. And I would say the last thing is to understand that these are systemic and structurally embedded discriminatory practices and oppressive practices that have built, again, over 100, 200, 300, 400 plus years, and recognizing that every little bit matters. So if there is that opportunity to write to a government official, if that's opportunity to be part of a broader coalition, if there's that opportunity to be part of systemic change agendas, whatever that looks like, however that looks like for you, whether at the community level, at an institutional level, at a broader sort of civil society level, then do engage. That is meaningful. Again, knowing that it takes time, but everything matters. I'll end by saying my background is in leadership and organization development that includes systems change. And in that field, we talk about the butterfly effect, that oftentimes, or others in regular language nowadays, people talk about the tipping point, right? Mm-hmm. And all that to say that systems don't change overnight. Every little action matters. And eventually these add up together to that tipping point, that butterfly effect where, boom, all of a sudden we realize we're in a different era, we're in a different way of being. And I think the world is already moving towards that different way of being holistically. I think we can all feel it. So just an encouragement that every bit matters and we're moving further and further towards that equity-centered future.
Yes, definitely. And it is a journey. And yeah, as you already said, everything, every little thing matters. And also engaging with community. So I spoke with Tiara last week and she is amazing. And yeah, we talked about different things that you can do for Black History Month. It can be, I mean, I attended a soca dance workshop last week and it was amazing. And talking about the butterfly effect, I can really feel it because I told my friends about it and they were very interested and we all joined and it was amazing. Before that I attended the opening ceremony, so I can definitely recommend engaging and check out the SFU Soca website and their Instagram. They have so many events happening, especially this week, and I will definitely attend some more events. So just engaging with community and yeah, speak with the people and yeah, talk with them. And is there anything else happening in Vancouver specifically for Black History Month?
There are always many, many events happening across the Lower Mainland. I've attended so many. I know, like, there's even this week, there's a Black in BC event in Surrey. I mean, I would just encourage folks, go check out Black History Month events, whether that's on Facebook or Eventbrite or your favorite place to look for events. Unfortunately, there used to be a listing I was aware of that mm-hmm. used to list a whole bunch of events. It's one of those listings that kind of went away a little bit with COVID, and I haven't seen it come back yet. But right now, I would just say follow Black community groups on Instagram and look up Black events on Instagram, and you'll be sure to find something. There's something for everybody. I think I'll concur what you said. Engaging with people and the communities that you want to be an active ally. Some will say accomplice, but I much prefer active ally because, you know, sometimes accomplice feels like we're up to something wrong, right? We're up to everything that's right in this conversation in terms of resistance and transformation. And so really that call for just engage with communities, learn.
Yeah.
Learn first. You don't have to show up and try to take over, because that's part of what we need to be different, is to make space for, you know, as our Indigenous colleagues have popularized, nothing about us without us. This is a frame also from my leadership and organization development scholarship. Nothing about us without us is a popular frame. So learn with people and then ask people how you can help.
Definitely. And is there anything I've missed asking about or that you would like to add as we almost close out here for today?
I just think I said this in the middle of our conversation, but February and forever.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're already coming to the end of Black History Month. Please, your engagement with Black community doesn't start and stop with February. It's February and forever. I think we're in a new era globally with increased awareness of the need for decolonization broadly, whether that is standing in Indigenous solidarity here in Canada and honoring the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples around the world, whether that's with Black communities, whether that's with our Asian communities, whether that's being aware of the rising anti-Semitism and being an active ally in all those spaces, whether in the anti-racism space or anti-oppression more broadly, our friends in the disability community, the 2S LGBTQIA plus communities. There is a lot. There is more than enough for all of us to engage in and with to ensure we're working towards an equity-centered future for all.
Yes, very true. And coming to my last and most important question, what does Black History Month mean for you?
For me personally, it's very simple. Black History Month for me means doing everything I can to write, speak, and engage the world in a way that will make it just a little better, like a little in increments towards that complete equity-centered future for my children. Mm-hmm. I often share that I was okay navigating the world as a Black person and a Black woman, as an African, as an immigrant, as someone that has been a refugee. I was okay with all that on my own. And when I started a family and my children started coming home with unacceptable stories of things that I said to them and how they were treated, I think at that point, Mama Bear came out and I decided it doesn't matter how long it takes, it can take the rest of my life. I will write, speak, and stand for anti-Black racism, against anti-Black racism, and for an equity-centered future. So that's what it means to me personally.
Thank you so much for answering all of these questions and for sharing your story. And I have one last question for you. Do you have a song you want me to play on the radio that you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh, maybe Brown Skin Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I would write that.
Brown Skin Girl. Okay.
And there's a song in it. You're just thinking about the diversity, if it works for you to be able to play too. Mm-hmm. It's Brown Skin Girl. But there's also Yemi Alade's Africa, I think, just to honor again.
Yeah.
Just that grounding in continental Africa is where our Black diaspora has come from. So Africa is a song I love.
Yes, I will definitely play these songs for you. And thank you again so much for sharing all of this information with me. And I can only thank you again for your patience and for your time here. And I hope my listeners are inspired now by you. And I will definitely share about your book and your work. Thank you so much. And if you have any last comment, you can share that now if you want.
No, I think I'm good. I think ending with what it means to me feels impactful. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for speaking with me. And I will definitely see you on campus again. And thank you for taking this time and for sharing your story here.
Thank you. A pleasure.
Thank you.
Singing. She says she really grew up all like me. Don't believe in nothing but the Almighty. Just a little jeans and a pure whitey. She never dreamed forever be nobody wifey. She wall I mean a pretty but your heart is a miss. Play you like a villain cause she caught in a wave. Tonight I am walking away. Line to buy mine and I grind. Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me, I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fights it by falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. Your back against the world. I never trade you for anybody else. Brown skin girl, that skin just like pearls, the best thing in all the world. I never trade you for anybody else.
And now, introducing the debutantes and the bows.
Trophy
when Naomi's walking. She need an Oscar for that pretty dark skin. Pretty like Lupita when the camera's closing. Drip broke 11 when my Kelly's rolling. I think tonight she might break her brains. Melanin too dark to throw her shade. She minds her business and winds her waist. Go like 24K. Okay.
Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me, I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fighting but falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. You're back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. A brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. The best thing about the world. I never tried you for anybody else.
Oh, have you looked in the mirror lately? Wish you could trade eyes with me.
Cause
there's complexities in complexion, but your skin is glow like diamonds.
Take me like the earth, you be giving birth to everything alive, baby, know your worth.
I love everything about you, from your nappy curls to every single curve, your body natural.
Same skin that was broken, me the same skin taking over. Most things out of focus, few, but when you're in the room, they notice you.
Notice you.
Cause you're beautiful.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're beautiful. Ooh. Them and them gon' fall in love with you and all of your glory. Your skin is not dark. It shines and it tells your story. Keep dancing, they can't control you. They watch and they all adore you. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told you.
Brown skin girl,
your skin just like pearls. You're back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. Trade you for anybody else. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. You're back against the world. I'll never trade you for anybody else. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. The best thing about the world. I'll never trade you for anybody else.
Skin girl, your skin just like pearls. I heard you for anybody else singing.
Welcome back here to CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Speak Up and I'm your host Vivian. And I hope you just enjoyed that interview I did with Dr. Yeboum Jibbelin Jackson about Black History Month, what we can do better, and yeah, what should change in the society, where are the issues and what should change, how we can make a change, and what changed over the years, what's about Black History Month, and all these questions were answered in this interview. And I would like to talk a little bit about her work. We don't have so much time left because the interview was really long, which I really enjoyed because this was probably one of my longest interviews I did here on CJSF. So if you don't know me, I'm the intern here on CJSF and I'm currently hosting Speak Up and an open mic on Thursday, and intravenous sometimes on Wednesday. So if you're interested in tuning in tomorrow for intravenous, Intravenous is hosted by Pranjali and me tomorrow from 10 to 11 a.m. And we will talk about how to be single and happy. And we will also have a live interview with some students about a march that will happen for International Women's Day. So stay tuned for that. But now I would like to jump into a little bit of detail for what she mentioned, because she mentioned that bell hooks is one of her favorite artists or writers. And if you don't know bell hooks, I want to give you a few informations about her so that you have an image
what she was talking about. So Bell Hooks is a pseudonym of Gloria Jean Watkins, born September 25th in 1952 in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and unfortunately died very recently, actually, on December 15th, 2021 in Berea, Kentucky. And she was an American scholar and activist whose work examined the connections between race, gender, and class. And she often explored the varied perception of Black women and Black women writers and the development of feminist identities. So she was really into the women's rights movement, and her subjects of study was feminism. And she grew up in a segregated community of the American South, and at the age of 19, she began writing what would become her first full-length book and one of her famous books as well, Ain't I a Woman? Black Woman and Feminism, which was published in 1981. And if you want to check it out, check out your local library, or you can also order it online on Amazon as well if you're interested in reading that. And I will definitely do that, because she's a really interesting person, and she taught at many universities. She studied at many universities, so she studied English literature. So she's really good at what she's doing. So yeah, I really, really like what that Dr. Yabomi mentioned her, because it's so important that we support those writers or artists or whatever that support the Black community as well, because then the support is bigger than ever if you will support or will continue to support those people that speak up for the Black community. And I will also order the book that Dr. Yabomi Jill Blunt Jackson published about mental health, and I'm really excited to read this book, because it's called Transformation After Trauma: The Power of Resonance. And I'm just looked it up right after the interview, because she talked about her being a writer and that she published two short stories and one book. And I would like to talk shortly about the book. So the book is about mental health and how to, the idea of transformation after trauma through the concept of resonance, and provides practical guidance for accessing it. So it can help you if you're struggling with trauma. And I will definitely read the book, because it's so interesting to me. And we don't have so much time left. I'm so sad, actually. Her second book, or her first short story, is Destinies, a flash fiction collection. And it's about the global Africanness and Blackness. And each story represents everyday moments of life, living, joy, sorrow, and a love that shape Black lives. And her third book, her second short story is called Anchor Streets, and it builds on Identities, a short story collection to imagine and portray ways in which a variety of global African characters negotiate their sense of self and belonging. So really, really interesting. And I'm so sad that I'm running out of time, because I wanted to talk about so much more than just that. So I wanted to talk about her books. I would also wanted to talk about The Danger of a Single Story, which is a really famous video. You can check that also out on YouTube, but you can also go on our archives on cdsf.ca. Check out Speak Up, and I will all link these links. So about the TED Talk with Dr. Yabomi Jiplin Jackson, and also with the TED Talk about the danger of a single story as well, because it's really, really interesting. And if you don't know that video, you should definitely check it out. It's really famous, and it's really, really important to look at it. It's by Chimamanda Adichie, and really, really good. So I can only recommend that to you. And also hope you enjoyed the songs I just played. We also have a CJSF playlist that you can check out. And yeah, I'm hoping that you enjoyed this episode of Speak Up. As I already said, I'm running out of time, but I hope you had a good time and enjoyed the interview with Dr. Yabomi Jiplin Jackson. And yeah, I'm really excited for next Speak Up show, and also for the shows that are coming up. So now Democracy Now! Is coming up, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Stay safe out in the snow, out in the cold. cozy, make yourself cozy, and yeah, enjoy the upcoming show now. I'm your host, Vivian, and this is CDSF 90.1 FM. Thank you so much for listening. I'm out for now, and this is Democracy Now!